What specifically were you looking at regarding chief acquisition officers at federal agencies?
Good afternoon, Francis. This was a request from the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to take a step back after the Services Acquisition Reform Act created the position of the chief acquisition officer back in 2003, and to find out whether the CAOs, as they're known, have been appointed in accordance with the statute, and to understand better what exactly these CAOs are doing.
The breakdown was interesting to me. You write, few CAOs have acquisition management as their primary duties. Other areas of responsibility included financial information and human capital management. What kinds of combinations did you see as you looked across these agencies?
We found all kinds of combinations. And what we found was that a number of the chief acquisition officers were also other chiefs within their departments. They were the chief acquisition officer, but also the chief information officer, the chief financial officer. Some had other titles like assistant secretary for management. They had responsibilities all over the map. Now, this was an issue with respect to the statutory requirement that says that the chief acquisition officers have to have acquisition as their primary duty. But when we talked to a number of these CAOs who were multi-hatted and were performing various responsibilities for the agency, they saw that as a distinct advantage. When they were responsible for, as the chief financial officer, for budgetary matters, they viewed that as an enormous advantage in helping them carry out their acquisition responsibilities.
What kind of advantages did they get from that? Because I would think if you're focusing on a number of different things and trying to put a lot of moving parts together, that would make someone's job harder rather than easier.
It is difficult to keep a lot of balls in the air at the same time. But from their perspective, they believed that having visibility over the budgetary resources, at having insight into the human capital structure of the organization as a chief human capital officer, that really allowed them to carry out their acquisition responsibilities in a much more efficient manner.
Bill Woods of the Government Accountability Office talking about work that he and his team have done looking at the role of chief acquisition officers in government relative to the requirements of the Services Acquisition Reform Act of 2003. Now, you write something here I thought was interesting. You write, CAOs at the 16 agencies generally did not report facing significant challenges related to the CAO position, such as the level of influence they have in their agency's acquisition process, and you referred to some other things. When you say generally, would you say that there were just kind of sporadic issues here and there, or are there any themes that do run throughout agencies and or run across agencies, and maybe they're just not that prominent or that difficult?
There were a couple of agencies where the chief acquisition officer thought they should have more influence within their organization. But by and large, that was not what we found. We found that the chief acquisition officers were situated within the agencies at a place where they had a tremendous amount of influence over the direction of the agencies. They had a seat at the table, and that was really the overriding concern that generated the Services Acquisition Reform Act and the chief acquisition officer position back in 2003 is that Congress wanted someone at the table responsible for acquisition to make sure that the acquisition perspective was brought to bear in everything that the agency did.
Now, you write, at many agencies, the statutory roles and responsibilities of the CAO position are not described in detail in acquisition regulations, policies, or other documentation. I wonder if the people at the agency think that the role is defined, whether or not specifically written down or not, well enough for the people to be able to do their jobs, if it really matters whether it's been codified in text somewhere. Does that make a difference?
The folks that we talked to did not believe that it mattered all that much in having roles and responsibilities laid out in agency documents. But we think in terms of institutionalizing the position, that it's not just the CAO that's in the position today, but it's the CAO after that person and yet again in years to come that will need to understand what the job is all about, what the position, who the position reports to, and what the responsibilities are.
Whose responsibility is it to spell that out, to codify that? Is it the individual agencies? Can they do it on their own, or should that come from somewhere else?
They can do it on their own. These are internal agency documents that we're talking about for the most part. But we think that the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, working with the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, could play a very, very useful role in issuing guidance to agencies about having a more institutionalized approach in agency documents regarding the chief acquisition officer position.
And do you use the word guidance intentionally rather than directives? Do you still believe there's a role for the agencies to maybe customize that framework to suit their own needs?
Absolutely. This needs to be an agency-by-agency basis. We clearly are talking about guidance rather than directives, and we're clearly envisioning a situation where each agency would take into account its own individual responsibilities and situation in coming up with the appropriate guidance.